Filling a job or a position
can be challenging.
It can be hard, and I appreciate the work that the search committee did, and I know we've thanked them and appreciated their work that they did. One of the things when a Covenant Church is looking for a pastor, one of the things a denomination does is come alongside a church and help them out with forms and different, just kind of a roadmap of what to do. And that's been real helpful. So I asked Jana if I could see some of those documents, and I put together kind of a list of some of the things I saw. So I thought I'd list off, there's actually 10 of them. I'll go ahead and list them counting down. Go ahead. Expectations for a pastor. The perfect pastor preaches exactly 10 minutes.
You want me to wait for a while
after? Yeah. I'll take whatever I can get. He condemns sin soundly but never hurts anyone's feelings. He works from 8 a.m. until midnight and is always on call. He makes $400 a week, wears good clothes, buys good books, and donates $300 a week to the church. He drives an American-made 2 to 3 year old white car and never goes over the speed limit. The perfect pastor always has time for church board meetings and all of its committees. We missed one. He makes 15 home visits a day and is always in his office when needed. He never misses the meeting of any church organization and is always busy evangelizing the unchurched. He is 29 years old and has 40 years of experience. And of course, my favorite, above all, he is handsome. Expectations on jobs. Today we return to our series on Colossians, as Paul communicates to the people of Colossae. And to us, let us not ever forget, he's writing to us. And he'll even tell us directly in a little bit. It was interesting as I approached this study because it was a little bit different from my mindset of where we were in Colossians. And Paul is explained some of his expectations for himself, some of his responsibilities and what he thinks about it. It's kind of like a job description, but with some feeling and emotions into it that you'll feel. And I think it's important that even though this is 2,000 years old, it is as relevant today as the day that he penned it. There's much advice here, many things we want to look at, so we'll want to be careful as we look through it. And as usual, to help us understand, I've come up with a little catchy thing. We won't have anyone march in. Just the letters S and the letter E, so you can see some of what he has to say clearly. First word is suffering. You know, if you have to give a talk and you want to start out with a burst, suffering really isn't the first thing you want to talk about. But on the other hand, I really like following scripture, and so we will look at it directly. So the word suffering from Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction. For the sake of his body, which is the church. We see some of Paul's heart here as he talks about suffering. We can't really imagine exactly what he's dealing with. Maybe it's physically, maybe it's emotionally, maybe he's dealing with loneliness. As a single adult, I remember loneliness just attacking me for quite a sustained period. That was a long haul. He might be in chains. He might be suffering from his guards being rough with him. One thing we do know, he was suffering with joy. We don't put those words together. He understood the purpose of what he was doing, and he sees it really following the example of Christ and maybe even sharing some of that suffering with Christ. To him, it was worth it. He's doing it for the sake of the body of Christ, really the church. He's doing it for the church. And to him, it's worth it. The next word is serve. Colossians 1:25, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. Paul had his role figured out, his mission. He was a servant of Jesus Christ to reveal the understanding of the Word of God. Now, when we think of serving, we often think of being hands and feet of Christ, and that is good, where we have compassion for others and we want to help feed the hungry and house the poor and take care of people, and that is an aspect and a value of serving that's valuable. But in this passage, the Apostle Paul is very clear here. It's about helping others see the fullness of Christ in them, how it impacts their life. See, sometimes serving is hard. It's easy to serve and help out people that aren't doing as well as you. Sometimes it's harder to share them the truth of Jesus Christ in the hope of eternity. Well, that's kind of a theme we'll be looking at here as we talk. The next word is share. Colossians 1, 26 through 27. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope and the glory. In Paul's day, this was pretty exciting news. Jesus came to redeem the sinful world. For us, it's kind of 2,000 years old, isn't it? We're well aware of it. It's not a mystery Beth and I were talking about, but it's a pretty exciting mystery. But it's been out there for 2,000 years. But for some reason, we don't 100% catch on. We need to find those who are lost and give them the solid hope and glory of what it means to have Jesus Christ in them. The next word is show. Colossians 1:28. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching one another with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Never know if it's mature or mature, but we'll say it that way. I love this verse because it's not only about winning souls, it's also about discipling. It's a process. It's a lifelong process of growing in Christ. And it could mean going to seminary, but chances are not for everybody. It's about living, modeling, walking with God, and not being ashamed. I was thinking of that this week when I was at Awana. How many of you know what Awana means? Justin.
Approved workmen are not ashamed.
Oh, very good. That is really good. Should we give him a hand for that? That is good. From 2 Timothy 2:15. It is great that we're not ashamed. And I think we need to not forget that, because sometimes our culture says, don't force your thoughts on other people. Don't be intolerant of everybody else. You need to back off. And sometimes we do feel ashamed. Can you believe it? We feel ashamed about God's redeeming us and wanting to be in heaven with him forever. So, Paul looked at how to proclaim and how also to nurture everyone he could about God, to help them become mature with a solid and firm understanding of what a disciple of Christ is like. The word admonishing is an interesting word. How many of you use admonishing today yourself? Not too much. Not too much at all. Warning is a better word. I think the New Living Translation, AJ, wouldn't you agree? Yeah, he's there reading that translation. To warn people. To really warn people about life and death and what that means for them. Because people know life is real, but we kind of don't think about death too much. We kind of don't want to think about it too much because it means major transition. As a Christian, we can feel a lot more comfortable with that than others, but even for us, it's hard. Even for the Christian, sometimes that transition's scary going into it. And it's real, and we need to do more than just lecture and tell people. We need to live it, and we need to show it, but we do also need to tell them. Let's not forget that. It isn't just living it, it's telling them. It's sharing what we know. Okay. The next word is struggle. Colossians 1:29, to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. There's another example. Strenuously contend? How many of you say that? Struggle's a lot nicer word, so I picked struggle. And it started with S, so that really worked out for me well. Struggling, we have learned that life is about struggle quite often. Sometimes I've prayed to the Lord, does everything have to be a struggle? Does every adventure I live in life have to be a struggle? And sometimes I feel that way. But then this word says something else. It's actually, there's a word picture there, energy Christ. You could say the energy of Christ that Paul says is powerful. It reminds me of the Energizing Bunny that just kind of keeps going. It goes and it goes and goes. You know the commercial. And I think of how it goes and goes and goes, but I also think how much more goes the Holy Spirit in our life. The Holy Spirit keeps us going and 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 on it goes to eternity. Now there is a power source that will go on forever. So Paul has given us some descriptives. He also talks about some goals. And as he moves into chapter 2 here, he shifts to goals and talks about it. So let's go on. The first word I have here is encourage. We've talked about it before. Colossians 2:1. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you, for those at Laodicea. Nice job earlier in the reading. That was a little town that was like 10 miles away from Colossae, across the river. And for all who have not met me personally, in case you didn't notice, that'd be you. Here's Paul is writing to you directly, personally. My goal is that they may be, may I say, you may be encouraged in heart and united in love. We've already explored this quite a bit and encouraging how important that is. One of the things I love to do is encourage people, myself. And in this case, Paul wants us to be encouraged, not just generally encouraged. He wants us to be encouraged at our core, in our heart, and in our soul. He wants us to be lifted up because really, we understand the answer. As Christians, we understand why we should have joy. Even though life may be hard, we need to have that eternal perspective of Jesus Christ. The other part of the encouragement he gives us here is that to understand the deep love that Jesus has given to us. The grace-filled and generous love that he has shown us in this life. He showed us in his actions as he lived. Some versions talk about us being knit together. I like that. Thinking of a knitter putting a sweater together where all the threads work together. And of course you have a rope that can accomplish much more if it's twined together. I had a little tour of some shop area yesterday afternoon, and there was a rope weaving device, a handmade rope. I'd never seen one like that. I'd heard about them and seen them on the How It's Made channel thing. But it was very fascinating how important that is for us to understand our roles as a community, as a fellowship, and how important each one of you is. Matter of fact, when you're not here, we're missing something. It says, the apostle wants us to be encouraged to know Christ in whom all is hidden, all treasure and wisdom and knowledge, as we go into the next word, which is explain. Colossians chapter 2, 2b, 3, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this is a great subject. For me it is. Understanding the full riches that we have in Christ. If we had a lost relative die and leave you $5 billion, that's a lot of money. you would be fairly comfortable. Probably for the rest of your life, you'd be fairly comfortable. And probably some people around you would be fairly comfortable. And inside, as a Christian, if you were a mature Christian, you'd ask, wow, what do I do with this, Lord? Some would say it'd be one of the greatest tests we'd experience to have wealth like that. Even Solomon, as wise as he was, as rich as he was, struggled. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge, we should be so excited about that, that we have that in Christ. Is the rewards are literally out of this world. Generally, we're cautious. I don't want to say ashamed, but we approach it with a careful step. We don't want to be intolerant of others. We don't want to impose our belief on others. The bottom line is we really don't have a clear understanding of what this means. All wisdom, all knowledge is in, not from, Jesus. Do you understand the distinction there? Whoever desires wisdom to navigate life successfully must come to the realization that there is nothing more, nothing less, nothing else than Jesus. All treasures of wisdom are in him. I often think of different religions out there, Buddha or Muhammad, and they're focused so much on wisdom by itself. It's useless by itself. This next story I'm going to share really struck me. It's about William Randolph Hearst. How many of you have heard that name before? A number of you. He was a communications tycoon, we'll call him. It would have been a print newspaper tycoon years past. And he was looking through some catalogs of pictures, and he saw a picture. And he thought, oh, I got to have that picture. I got to have that. So he called his aides in, and he says, I need you to go out and find that picture. And they went and they looked, and they couldn't find it. And he says, if you care about your job, you will not come back without finding it and getting it. So they went, and they looked all over the world with unlimited resources for this picture. And after 3.5 months, Hearst's aide walked in and said, we found it. He said, well, did you buy it? He goes, no, it's not for sale. He goes, what do you mean? He said, it took us a lot of work, but we found it in your warehouse. He owned it himself. Kind of sobering when you think about what we have in our warehouse. All the wisdom and knowledge, complete understanding. See, the eternal truth is hidden in Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the next word, which is educate, Colossians 2:4. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. I tell you, right here is almost the whole purpose of the book. This is where the rubber definitely meets the road. You wonder why all this work Paul is doing in writing. And we discover the reason for the valuable tool. He wants to impart the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ to a level that will protect the people of Colossae. And to us today. Because you see, we can be deceived. We can be so deceived. He wants us to have discernment. I really would like now to have everybody bow. I'm not going to have you do this. Have everybody bow. I want to know who has the gift of discernment. Because it's one of the most valuable things. I sat in a board meeting one time. I was kind of new on the board. And it was a board with a lot of resources. We had millions of dollars to watch over. And a deal came through. A deal came through from some other churches, some other seminaries, some foundations. They said, we have this deal that if you give us this money, it will double in 30 days. AJ just chuckled. But you got to understand, these were people we knew that had huge credibility that was telling us about this. It was so good. And I can tell you, there was two guys especially, just like AJ. Yeah, right. Not only did they chuckle, they could see some people on the board were taking it seriously. They said, as long as we're on this board, we will not do this. They spoke with such command and authority, we all just went, oh, yeah, okay. I was new on the board and just kind of like taking it all in at the time. But I was impressed with these two guys, how fervently, how solidly. It wasn't a joking manner. They were absolute in their discernment what this was. And guess what we found out 60, 90 days later? Seminaries, colleges, foundations, big churches, people lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And yes, it was just a pyramid scheme. They got into a loop, they convinced some key people, and it grew and it grew and it grew. But you know those kind of things can't grow long because they will crash and burn. And so did a whole bunch of people. And I remember hearing that. It was just a couple months after that meeting. And I remember thinking back to that board meeting and how quick, boom, there wasn't even a hesitation on those two guys that spoke up. You need leaders to have discernment. It's one of the gifts. There's a lot of gifts. We'll talk about it in a sec. There's a lot of gifts. But one of the most valuable to a church is discernment and truth, and to be able to identify quickly the counterfeit, the falsehood, and discern through that. We need to come back to this one a lot, and we will, because our culture is burrowing in on thoughts in Christianity. Our culture is seeping in the cracks and crevices. Satan looks for those, and he attacks it. You can see why Paul's motivated. It's all over the place. Next week, we'll get into a little bit of what he's talking about specifically. We need to move on. The next word is engage. I'll be doing time-wise. I'm really hurting. We'll move quickly. Colossians 2:5. For though I am absent from you in body, as he really is today, he died 2,000 years ago, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. To live life in Christ, Paul knew he had to engage the followers of Jesus Christ in a lifestyle that protected them and trained them well. It's like being an athlete. An athlete trains and practices. He works out and then he practices. He prepares and then he practices. He thinks about it and then he practices. He is constantly, he or she, is constantly working on those disciplines. The little bits and pieces of your day, every day, that lend yourself to being successful. See, we need to be like athletes. It's good sometimes, I guess, to stay home, to eat, drink, and be merry. But we can't just do that. We have to live a life, as Paul has told us, worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. And that takes working out. It takes training. And it takes practice over and over and over again, every day, every day. I thought I'd ask, and I am going to take the time, even though we're hurting for time, a little bit to talk about, what kind of things do you practice? What kind of things do you practice to be healthy in what you do? And I'll go ahead and ask you. What do you do? Health-wise, spiritually, we can start with spiritual, but yeah. So what kind of things do you do to keep yourself healthy spiritually?
Listen to the right kind of music.
That's a nice one that you can just do while you're doing a zillion things, yeah.
Read the Bible.
There's a basic fundamental, yes. Read the Bible. Once a month is probably good enough. Probably not. Probably needs more than that, maybe even daily. Maybe even more than daily. If you're like me, a little slow on the uptake. Okay, what else? Pray. And there's some obvious ones. These guys are getting the obvious ones. Okay, pray, yeah. What's that? Witnessing. Oh, wow. Thinking about stretching out there a little bit and witnessing. Yes. What else? Go to church. Yeah, who said that? There. Go to church because that helps us to encourage us, to keep us there. It's like that rope twining together. It's very rich. How about other aspects of life? What else do we do?
Fixing coffee machines.
Fixing coffee machine. And thank you for that, even from a non-coffee drinker. Yes. And there's lots of things. Eating healthy, exercising, disciplining your mind. I had a friend when I went to seminary, I had a friend who's retired, and he was a young retiree. He said, you know, I've had my mind on the shelf for a couple years. I need to engage. And I knew he was a pretty sharp guy. I said, I'm taking seminary. Why don't you come with me? You'll like it. And he did. He actually went to more classes than me after I left. He just kept going on. I'm going to bring him here sometime and maybe have him preach for us. He's a wonderful guy. So there's so many things in life that are so important that we can't just wait for Sunday. If you just, I noticed in Awana, one of Julie's strategies is to help the kids get involved during the week to help them practice memorization. I think that's such a great component. I struggle with memorizing, but it's so important to do, to have God's word in our heart. We just cannot, not be active daily in our walk. So let's go on to the last word, which is empower. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I think of the history of this church and all the pictures down there of confirmation training. I really liked the bulletin this week. Thank you again, Jenna, because it speaks to this verse. Live your lives in him, rooted and built up. Know where your strength comes from. You need to be nurtured in Christ, in his word. I love the play that John used. We talked about a while back, the word Jesus, the word, the interplay there. You need to be rooted in that. His strength is in you. It's not in sheer wisdom by itself. It's in the wisdom of Jesus Christ. And maybe remembering it's not about you. It's about him. So we started this time, this morning, considering the Apostle Paul's roles. Actually, we started with 10 pastoral expectations, but we went to 10 things that the Apostle Paul used, a list of 10. And I'm going to go ahead and have those put up. Suffering, serving, sharing, showing, and struggling. Encourage, explain, educate, engage, and empower. And we're going to go to prayer here. And I'm going to ask you to just think about those words. And you can keep your eyes open if you need to as we pray. Which one would the Lord have you do a mass attack on? Which one do you need to focus? Which one, two, or three do you really need to focus that you need to be more aware of and to camp out on? Let me pray. Father, as we consider these words, help us to be faithful, available, and teachable. We want to mold to you. We want to mold not around ourselves, but focused on you. Our strength truly does come from you. Our eternity comes from you. It all comes from you, as we've studied in the past, and we know. Thank you for the heritage you've given us here at Grandview Covenant, the teaching, the words of truth that have been instilled in the people here, for the leadership here that has practiced discernment. please guide our hearts. Help us focus where you want us to focus. Help us to train and discipline our lives around you. And now, let me offer the benediction. May we be empowered by Paul's words. May we be instructed by Paul's words, not to just be Christians here, but to be Christians that are wise and knowledgeable, not to be obnoxious, but to be true to what you want us to be true to, and that is Jesus Christ.